I'm Evan Knappen, and welcome to Gun Lawyer. So there's been a lot of interesting developments, and boy, I've gotten a lot of great letters. So we're going to go through all these interesting news bits, stuff that you will not hear in the imperial media. I like calling the lamestream media that. It really fits it. It's the imperial media. You know, they just put out what the imperial government says they should put out. But I'm here to give you some alternative source of news and information, and I enjoy doing that, and I really appreciate all of you listeners out there, and I've gotten a lot of great questions, too, that we're going to do that I'm sure a lot of you will appreciate. So maybe you saw, or maybe you didn't, that the Attorney General in New Jersey released a couple of announcements. Number one, he put into a form of a public database, what he's calling the dashboard, of all carry licenses, permits to carry a handgun, statistics that are now available on what's happened in New Jersey with the issuance of the carry permits. And it's actually pretty interesting. And they put it out there to create problems, of course. You know, they want it to be used politically against us. But actually, I think it's going to backfire big time. And we in the gun rights community actually kind of welcome this data. I do. I welcome the data. It saves us from having to do Freedom of Information Act requests. Thank you, Attorney General, for providing it. And you may get a kick out of looking at it. It's interesting. It lists by county, and it lists approvals and denials and gives a basis for denial, and also lists race. Oh, yeah. So you can see the institutionalized discrimination for yourself in terms of the denials and approvals right away. It's pretty good. And it also shows how many permits to carry have been issued so far since the Bruin decision, you know, since the regaining of the right to carry in New Jersey, thanks to the Supreme Court Bruin decision and the great, we like to call St. Thomas, who wrote the majority opinion there. And now that our right to keep and bear arms has been extended to apply to our right to carry a handgun outside our home for self-defense, New Jersey's had to finally relent and have a shall-issue carry permit system where individuals can actually get a carry permit, which was a virtual impossibility before because of the requirement of justifiable need. That was their barrier, their trick. By requiring justifiable need, defining it by the courts as urgent necessity, and then having to meet a two-part test showing that you were subject to serious bodily injury or death, you personally, and that carrying a handgun was only way to avert that threat, it became a virtual impossibility because you had to show that you needed to use deadly force before you needed to use deadly force. So basically, if you'd been shot and killed, you now qualify for a carry license. Congratulations. That's how it used to work under the old law. But the new law has gotten rid of justifiable need, and individuals can now get permits. So the new tack that the anti-Second Amendment government, the imperial government, is trying to do to, you know, still limit our rights, even though they're forced to have to issue permits, is try to limit where you can use the permits. And that battle is ongoing in the courts now to go at their so-called sensitive places and other restrictions that unreasonably limit our constitutional right. Well, anyway, a lot's happened since that change. And I think it's very interesting looking at these statistics to see exactly what happened. You know, originally, prior to that Bruin law, there were maybe approximately 600 permits to carry a handgun for the entire state of New Jersey. That's right, 600 or so. And those civilian carries were, you know, mostly those that were either you know, mobsters or politicians or both, but not everybody, but there was a good percentage. And it was about as corrupt as you can get, you know, unbelievably corrupt, unless you were connected politically or otherwise. You know, it wasn't really going to happen, and it was very tough to try to meet that outrageous standard. I mean, it was a virtual impossibility, although I was able to do it for a number of clients, but it was just something that an average individual would not even, you know, be smart to not even try, because the odds of winning were so stacked against you. So after the Bruin decision, guess how many permit to carries have already been issued? And this is just a very short period of time. Apparently, approximately 33,000 carry permits now exist and growing every day. 33,000, folks, from 600 to 33,000. Roughly, that is a 5,400% increase. That's right. A 5,400% increase in carry permits. Think of how many people have been denied their rights for at least 50 years by the Imperial New Jersey government wanting to stop us from exercising our constitutional right to keep and bear arms and force us to remain victims instead of defenders. Just think how many. I mean, if it was just 33,000 every one of those years, it's somewhere over 1.5 million licensees denied. And that's, I'm sure, small, and that's just not even how many just got discouraged and never have bothered to even apply. I mean, it's just outrageous to think that for half a century, New Jersey has gotten away with crushing its citizens' rights. And that's it should be and is an absolute embarrassment, and New Jersey should be ashamed of itself. But instead, it revels in its shame. It tries to continue with its shameful acts by doing everything in its power to curtail the Second Amendment instead of gloriously trying to expand and protect our rights. It's constantly trying to restrict us and take away rights and disenfranchise gun owners, and I experience and see this all the time. So we're still in this battle, but it's really astounding to look at the dramatic increase of how many people, and those are folks that have gone through the entire New Jersey permit to carry system. Even though it shall issue, it's still far from simple. It's not constitutional carry, that's for sure. You can just carry without a permission slip. No, you got to go through the whole application process and fingerprint and photographs and take your C-Care course so you're qualified and understand and pass and certify on the laws, etc. You got to go through all that and pay the fee, which isn't cheap, $200 now. And so all those folks have done that already. They are the most outstanding group of law-abiding citizens in New Jersey when you think about what they've gone through to get that carry permit. And it is growing every day, and it is critical, and I'm glad that those statistics are out there because it's very useful. Now, it's done anonymously, so individuals are not listed as to who got approved or denied or anything like that. Just their race criteria, which is actually welcome because it really shows the racism of New Jersey's gun laws. Take a look at the stats. You'll see it for yourself. And it shows the tremendous growth in individuals exercising their rights. But that's not all the news that the Attorney General released, because the Attorney General also has announced that New Jersey will be providing signs, kind of sticker-type signs, to businesses that want to say no guns allowed in their business. That's right. New Jersey, on your taxpayer dime, will provide these to businesses so they can stop individuals, licensed, law-abiding individuals who've gone through all that they put in that law to get the ability to carry, to stop them from going into their place of business by putting these signs up that New Jersey is happy to supply. Now, of course, New Jersey is not supplying signs that say guns are welcome. We want you to carry a gun if you're licensed to do so in our store. Now, to be fair, the state should offer both signs. I mean, let's face it, why are they only offering the one to curtail our rights when many, many businesses, probably more businesses, would be happy to put up a sign welcoming gun owners than not? But New Jersey doesn't do that. You see, they don't provide the free signs to those places that want trained, armed citizens in their store that actually protect themselves and others and create a discouragement to the bad guys. Instead, if a business is foolish enough, is stupid enough to put a no gun sign on their business, well, first of all, if you're a gun owner, a Second Amendment advocate, you should not give that commercial establishment any business whatsoever. You should never walk in there, whether you're carrying a gun or not, and spend a dime. Because not only are they not respecting our Second Amendment rights, but any business that's stupid, that is basically saying to criminals, hey, we don't want any guns here. We don't have any guns here. They're inviting problems to come because no criminal is going to look at a sign and say, oh, my gosh, no guns. I better not bring my gun in there to rob the place or to create mayhem with my gun because there's a sign. There's a sign that says no guns. Yeah, criminals just see signs and that's it. They just obey them, right? No, it's the opposite. They see that sign and they say, ah, easy pickings. It's like animals in the wild. They don't attack the strongest. They attack the weakest prey. They go for the weakest. And when you're publicly announcing your stupidity of being disarmed and weak, you're asking for the predators to come at you. And as law-abiding gun owners, I want to avoid situations where there's an attraction to criminal predators. My gun is carried to protect myself, my loved ones, and if I'm put in that situation, but I'm sure going to avoid a situation where the odds are dramatically increased and I have a choice to not go there, no less spend money there, no less give my business there. So any store, any commercial that puts one of those signs, you stay away. You don't want to increase your danger. And the public should know that those stores are more dangerous because they have that sign, more likely to be hit by violent crime. Not less likely, more likely. So that's what that sign does. If they really want public safety to be improved, they should offer the other sign, the sign that will discourage criminals and violent crime. The sign that will encourage law-abiding citizens to give their business to the store. The sign that says we believe in the Constitution, we believe in our rights and your rights, and we respect it. Now, look, if you're a business and you want to put that sign up, it'd be a good idea. You should do it. And you should do it whether the government's willing to give you a free sign or not, because that's how you make yourself safer and protect your customers and show your respect for the Constitution. So, I have some important news. And it actually goes to one of the letters that I received. It goes to, in fact, an Ask Evan. And let me find it right now, because it is a good letter that is asking about newsworthy events. And what is asked has to do with where we are in terms of our litigation that is ongoing. And I have some exciting news. And what the person wants to know is what is going on with the litigation over assault firearms and over the large capacity magazine ban. You know, we're in federal court on that very thing. And it is the state association that is litigating this. And the good news is in April, there will be arguments on the summary judgment motion. Now, this is a critical step because at this summary judgment motion in federal court, we could get a decision that knocks out both the so-called assault firearm ban, which is, of course, just modern sporting rifles, or the so-called large capacity magazine ban, which is simply a standard capacity magazine ban. And that summary judgment will have great, can have great impact. So I am really looking forward to the arguments being done by my colleague and friend, Dan Schmutter. And he'll be going in to argue on the summary judgment motions on the litigation, challenging those laws under the Second Amendment. So that's good stuff. And that's why one of the reasons every one of you needs to be a member of the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs. That is anjrpc.org. They are the gun rights group for New Jersey, the premier group, the state NRA affiliate. They are the umbrella organization of gun clubs, and you can become an individual member. And it's critical that you do. You will get updates. You'll get updates on the litigation. You'll be right up there, first to know, getting the email alerts. They also let you know what's going on in Trenton, what shenanigans they may be trying to pull to further turn us into criminals and disenfranchise us of our gun rights and all the other great stuff they do in the name of public safety. How nice. Oh, we must go after, you know, we have to, it's all about gun safety. Yeah, right, gun safety. What a joke. The day they actually pass an actual gun safety law, that would really be shocking. Instead, we just pass gun bans, and we put this label on them of gun safety. That's how we sell it to the dummies. It works great. Yeah. Well, anyway, point is, the association is where you want to be. Make sure you join. Make sure you become part of the solution, not the problem. And show your support as we battle the forces of evil, because basically they're evil in what they're doing. I mean, anything going against our rights, trying to stop the Constitution and curtail our ability to defend ourselves, such a fundamental right, is evil. So help fight evil. Join the state gun rights group, the premier group, the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs at anjrpc.org. And let me tell you also about our good friends at We Shoot. We Shoot is an indoor range in Lakewood. They are a fantastic range. It's where I got my carry certification, my C-Care. So did my brother. So did my son. So did so many other friends and listeners. Everybody loves We Shoot. It's a great indoor range in Lakewood. Great training, great facility. So convenient to Central Jersey right there. And boy, we need our ranges. You need to support our ranges, particularly our indoor ranges, so that we have a place to shoot. Because without a place to shoot, it gets real tough to be a gun owner and enjoy our guns. So We Shoot is a resource and is a big plus to the community to have such a resource there. And boy, they reach out to the community wonderful. They're just wonderful how they do. They have great programs and great training. And I guarantee you go down there, you're going to love We Shoot. So check out WeShootUSA.com. That's their website. They got great photography. Go down there, tell them you're a listener. Gun lawyer, they will take care of you. You will be treated like family. And I mean it. They really are like that. That's not just, you know, talk. It's for real. Check out WeShoot. WeShootUSA.com. And by the way, this is where I shamelessly plug my book, which is New Jersey Gun Law, the Bible of New Jersey Gun Law. It's over 500 pages, 120 topics, all question and answer. If you don't own a copy yet, I have to say, why don't you own a copy? I mean, I talk to folks all the time, and they're like, oh, man, I meant to buy the book, but thanks for helping. I'm happy to talk to you, but then they're like, I'm buying the book right now. I don't know why. You got to get the book. This book is your guide. It's what will help you navigate. I wrote it to be user-friendly, to protect gun owners from this ridiculous, insane matrix of Jersey gun law so that you can navigate it safely. Get the book. You'll be glad you did. And on the front cover, scan the front cover, you'll get that QR code to scan, and boom, you can subscribe for free, 100% free, to all the updates and the archives. You get access to the archives and updates all free. This way, when laws change, you're going to get notice from me. You're going to be able to keep that book current. So once you get the book, it stays current. Hit that QR code, and you'll know what you need to know to protect yourself and remain a law-abiding gun owner in New Jersey. So let's take a look at some of these really great letters that came in. I'm really happy about them. So here's an interesting one. This is from Don. Don says, first and foremost, let me thank you for all you do for our 2A rights in this oppressive state. Well, my pleasure, Don. I have your gun law Bible, and I even bought a copy for my cousin when he got into firearms because it's such an invaluable resource. I listen to your show regularly and appreciate your time and efforts. Regarding belt feds in New Jersey, specifically he's talking about a Fightlight MCR. The manufacturer's website says the product is restricted for sale in New Jersey. It's likely their policy is so they don't risk dealing with the state in a potential lawsuit. Is it illegal to own a firearm that is capable of accepting an ammunition belt as a feeding source? Subsequently, as the mag capacity wording reads, am I correct? If someone hypothetically has belted ammo linked in a capacity greater than 10 rounds, it's not contained in anything like a box, bag, pouch, or container of any sort, then they would not be in violation of the ban. But as soon as they put the ammo in a bag or bring it to the range, they'd be found in violation. If I'm understanding correctly, to be able to leave the ammo belted in whatever capacity and hang it in a closet would have to be 10 rounds. Thank you again for your time and support, all things 2A in Jersey. Well, thank you, Don. And let's talk about belt feds. So New Jersey's assault firearm law does not talk about belt fed firearms at all. It talks about semi-automatic firearms, if we're talking about substantially identical now, semi-automatic firearms that accept a detachable magazine. So first of all, is a belt-fed gun a detachable magazine? Well, a belt isn't a magazine. It isn't a magazine. It's a belt. And when you go to New Jersey's definition of large-capacity magazine, it specifically defines it as any box, tube, container, or drum. Box, tube, container, or drum. No mention of belts. You'd really have to stretch it to say the belt is a container. It's not a container, it's a belt. And since belts are not a box, tube, container, or drum, then belts aren't large capacity magazines. Now, there has been word, and I've heard it as well, that if you have a belt and it holds 10 rounds or less, then you're perfectly fine. And I guess if you have a belt that holds 10 rounds or less, you are perfectly fine, because even if they bend over and do backflips to try to somehow say that belts are magazines, then your, quote, magazine isn't over 10 rounds, right? But I happen to disagree that belts are even magazines at all. But the problem can be that if you put the belt in a container, aha, now it can be a problem, because now the container is arguably holding the belt that feeds continuously and directly into the fire. But without the container, it's not contained by anything. It's just hanging by a belt. But many belt feds feed from a container. And so if your belt is feeding from a container, even arguably an open ammo can where the belt's feeding out of it, you could say, well, then that container is acting as a drum because it feeds continuously directly over the 10 rounds. So this is where it gets messy and vague and ridiculous. As far as a belt-fed firearm being prohibited, you're going to have to see if it is a semi-automatic firearm, but if it uses a detachable magazine, and again, we can debate whether it does or doesn't, and then does it have the offending features that we reviewed many times under the Attorney General guidelines? And those offending features, does it have a flash suppressor or a threaded muzzle, or does it have a bayonet mount, or does it have a pistol grip, a folding or telescoping stock? Or, of course, the ever-popular grenade launcher. Right. So if it has any more than one of those offending features, then you have a problem. So if any of you are going out grenade launching this weekend, make sure that's the only offending feature on your gun, because New Jersey will otherwise try to claim that it's an assault firearm if you have more than one of those intrinsically evil, nasty features. So be careful. But that would be the criteria that you would apply in determining whether that belt-fed is in fact prohibited or not. Hey, here's a great question from Steve. Steve wants to know regarding making OOS purchase legal in Jersey. An OOS purchase. First, I was thinking, I know the OSS, but that would be, you know, World War II spy stuff. But I know what he means by OOS. He means out-of-state purchase. Is an out-of-state purchase legal in New Jersey? Well, here's what he asked. I have asked this once before. Is there a way to make legal in New Jersey a handgun that I purchased legally in Florida? Florida is my dual resident state. New Jersey is my main home. My New Jersey FID was issued in 2006. In New Jersey, I'll skip the town. And it's still my current on my driver's license, voter registration, tax return. And I'd like to use this handgun for carry in New Jersey. So the answer is no problem, because federal law recognizes dual residency for handgun purchase. It's in the CFR of the federal code. It's in my book under out-of-state purchase. I give you the code right there. And during the time that Steve resides in Florida at his other home, like weekends or the winter months, he's deemed a resident of Florida. He can buy handguns in Florida under Florida law and federal law. And then he can bring those guns back to New Jersey because he can possess them under the exemptions like any other handgun. And there's no requirement that they be registered in New Jersey. None. Because he's a resident of New Jersey. He's not a new resident where registration is required. He's a dual resident. So there's no registration required. And you can possess them. Now he says, can I carry them? Well, yes, but that would mean that you'd have to put that gun on the carry permit form that you intend to carry it. And then you would be, by de facto, registering a gun in New Jersey that you didn't have to register in New Jersey, because now you've created a registration document of that make, model, and serial number, etc. So you may not want to actually carry that gun in Jersey, but it's not unlawful for you to bring it back as long as it's not otherwise prohibited. You can't bring an assault pistol, right? A prohibited firearm. But as long as it's a handgun, it's not prohibited, and you don't want to have a magazine over 10 rounds till the association wins its case, then that's fine. And dual residency is legal, and it is acknowledged and accepted under the federal law by the Code of Federal Regulations. And just go to my book, and you can see it in black and white. So thanks, Steve. Thanks for a great question there. Now, Sam says the following. Sam says, hey, I recently took a long-range shooting course in Alabama. I would like to buy one of their long-range rifles. It has a suppressor on it. I'm a New Jersey resident. I'd like to have this gun for hunting out west. Is it legal for me to own this gun for use in another state? Now, the problem is the gun is legal because you can own a long-range rifle unless it's one of the dreaded intrinsically evil so-called assault firearms. But as long as it's like a bolt-action long-range rifle, no problem. But make sure it's not 50 BMG because that's separately prohibited in Jersey. But assuming it's just a decent long-range rifle, that's no problem. But the problem is the suppressor, because New Jersey flat-out bans possession of the suppressor. So you can't have a silencer or suppressor in Jersey. Even though federal law allows for the purchase, New Jersey does not. So federal law would then prohibit you from getting your NFA approved because you're in a state where you can't have it. So unfortunately, until New Jersey removes the ban on suppressors, you cannot have the long-range rifle with the suppressor. You can have the rifle, but not the silencer. And it's a shame because suppressors and silencers are hearing protection. They're great for hearing protection. Can you imagine if all our cars were required not to have mufflers? Oh, yeah, that's how it should be. Because, look, a criminal, if they're going to rob a bank, we don't want them to get away quietly. We want to hear that muffler. Well, that's the logic applied to guns then, isn't it? It's about as stupid as it gets. You need suppressors because not only does it stop the excessive sound, it also removes a lot of the flash and recoil, and it makes shooting a pleasure and allows for hunters to hunt game and listen without having to have heavy-duty ear protection when they're hunting. They can listen to the game and be able to shoot. And this is something that, you know, even in Europe, where they're so crazy anti-gun, they mandate suppressors at a lot of the ranges. They mandate suppressors on shotguns. They're required because they don't want the noise pollution. They don't want the hearing damage. But New Jersey, of course, is never logical or reasonable. In fact, it's banned. And unfortunately, no suppressors in New Jersey at this time. I have a great letter here from Rich. And Rich says, thank you for the excellent education you provide about New Jersey gun laws. I've listened to every episode. I have a few questions that would be interesting on air. So first question he asks is, last week you mentioned you can purchase a black powder revolver out of state that is deemed not a modern firearm. For example, a Remington 1858 or a Colt 1851. Do these revolvers have to be actual antique, or is a reproduction of an 1858 considered not a modern handgun, even though it's brand new? Do they have to be exact replicas? Any black powder handgun, new or old, is not modern. So it can absolutely be a replica. It does not have to be an actual antique. It goes to the mechanism. If it fires by percussion or flintlock, then it is black powder, and it is not covered by federal law. So you can have modern black powder firearms that fire by percussion, and you can have a Remington 1858, or you can have, there are modern made that are not based on even trying to replicate a gun of the past. For example, the North American Arms mini revolver. They make it in a black powder, at least they did. I don't know if they still do, but they did make a black powder mini revolver that you can buy. You know, it looks just like the 22 version, the 22 long rifle version, but it is strictly made by them to fire a black powder with a percussion cap charge. And yet there it is, a mini revolver, and it's not made to be a replica of any prior existing gun, although they did have small revolvers, you know, in the old days, no question about it. But that model is unique to North American Arms, and it's pretty cool. And so you could have that as well. So that's not a problem. It does not have to be an authentic, actual antique. As a matter of fact, I would not advise shooting authentic, actual antiques, despite what you may see on, like, Pawn Stars, where every antique gun comes in, they have to shoot. I mean, it's nuts. Don't shoot them, okay? The steel, the metallurgy of the day, plus over time, there can be carbon deposit, rust, other things. I mean, man, it's just crazy. Don't do that unless it's absolutely certified by a gunsmith and checked out that thoroughly. I would not be shooting those guns, although I'm sure many are safe to do so. But you're like, why are you doing that to an antique anyway? Why are you doing that? Why are you risking its destruction or danger to yourself over shooting it? It needs to be appreciated for the historic value that it has. And the modern made replicas are stronger, of even better steel, of even higher quality. So when you're shooting a replica, you're actually shooting a gun that was made better than the original anyway. And they're safe and certified, you know, made by any modern major producer. You got really the better way to go. So not a problem for the black powder gun issue. And then Rich asks, can you shed some light on the details of carrying a handgun with a permit to carry in relation to businesses that post a gun-free location sticker? Okay. So what about what we talked about with this free sticker, you know, the sign, we don't want any guns here except for criminals carrying them, creating havoc because law-abiding citizens will obey signs and criminals won't? What if you see that? Can you still go into that store? Is it prohibited? What's the deal? Well, it's not a sensitive place currently if it is open to the public. And it doesn't matter if it has a sign. It doesn't make it a sensitive place. If it's open to the public, that doesn't trigger a sensitive place. But what it does do is create a trespassing situation. Because in the same way as some establishments could prohibit someone from having a dog in there or things like that, they can say, we don't want you with your gun. And then you could face trespassing charges for not obeying their wishes, especially if you're told to leave and then you don't. So that's defined trespassing. So be really, if you see the signs, absolutely honor those signs, folks. Honor them with zest and passion. Say, I will not spend my money. I will not go in that store. You will not get my business. I'm not going to put myself in further danger because you're encouraging criminals and violent crime to hit your store by saying no guns. No, I'm not going there. Don't do it. Don't give them your money and don't endanger yourself by going to any store foolish enough to have one of those signs. And then three, I have not heard any of your shows talk about bulletproof vests. Okay. Let me tell you about bulletproof vests. Bulletproof vests are lots of fun. And New Jersey allows bulletproof vests. And let me just tell you the law on Jersey, because Rich says in his question, he says, I understand it has to be registered with the state. What is the process for registration? And does it need to be transported in a locked box or other such silliness? And the answer is they don't need to be registered and they don't need to be transported in a locked box. And what you may have heard was it was a bill proposed and it's still out there to be voted on, but it has not passed to require registration and restrictions on vest, etc. But that has not passed. And instead, the law in New Jersey, you can find it under NJS 2C39-13. And what they're talking about is bullet-resistant body armor. And as long as you're not engaging in or attempting to commit or fleeing the scene after committing murder, manslaughter, robbery, sexual assault, burglary, kidnapping, criminal escape, or assault, then you're okay to have a vest. you cannot wear a vest while committing or attempting to commit a crime of the first degree or the second degree. And you're lawful as long as you're not attempting to commit or flee the scene after committing a crime. So there's no prohibition on bulletproof vests other than that, not wearing it to commit a crime or fleeing the scene of a crime, etc. That's a limitation. The other issues have not passed, although Jersey, I'm sure, may try to do that, because they not only want us to be victims and defenseless, they want us to be even more vulnerable to criminals' guns, so that only the criminals have guns and you can't even have a vest to protect yourself unless, again, registration. You know, Big Brother, always there, registration. Yeah. Good thing that vest was registered. I mean, what does that have to do with anything? Come on. It's just more intrusions, more turning law-abiding citizens into victims. It's just never-ending with New Jersey and their schemes and things they can intrude on our rights with. It's crazy. But now, let's talk about the GoFu. One of our favorite segments, the GoFu, the Gun Owner Fuck-Up of the Week. Now, this GoFu is a little different because this one isn't necessarily a GoFu on the gun owner, but it sure is a GoFu on the police who are acting as the issuing authorities. The letter I received said, I applied for a CCW, of course, he meant a PTC, a permit to carry, and put on his application that he wants to carry the Ruger 5.7 handgun. The Ruger 5.7. You're familiar with the 5.7, right? It's similar to, you know, same round that the FN, you know, 5.7, etc. 5.7 is a caliber of a cartridge. Get ready for this, folks. The detective where he applied told him he could not carry it due to the round can pierce body armor. Oh, my God. And if a Leo wanted to carry, he'd have to qualify with it every 3 months. What? He could not get clarification from New Jersey State Police or the Attorney General on this firearm. I told him, what? It's different for a civilian. It's a New Jersey acquired firearm. It's legal to own and have. Okay, folks. Can you believe this? They're now attempting to deny a carry because the person wants to carry the Ruger 5.7 handgun. Because it fires a round that can penetrate body armor. Really? Really? Except it doesn't. It doesn't because the armor-piercing ammunition is banned federally, banned statewide. You cannot lawfully purchase armor-piercing ammo for the 5.7. The gun is a gun. Armor-piercing ammo is a whole other story. Look, you can buy armor-piercing ammo for any gun, and that's unlawful. It doesn't matter if you have AP ammo for your 9mm. That's unlawful ammo. If you have AP ammo for your 45, you have AP ammo for any handgun. AP ammo, armor-piercing ammo, prohibited under New Jersey state law, prohibited under federal law. The 5.7 by itself is not armor-piercing. It's not. And yet, here is somebody who is facing potential denial of their permit to carry because this guy, this detective, has some media view, some absolute false view based on media hype from the imperial media about armor-piercing ammunition. And the 5.7 is a vest popper, a cop killer. No. Only if it's got AP ammo, which you can't buy and can't legally have and banned federally and state. So the gun of choice that is lawful for the person to have, the handgun that is legal in Jersey for the person, is legal for them to carry. And if they put it on their permit or put it on the form, they've met their obligation. It's not a basis to deny a permit to carry. That is a gofu on the part of this issuing authority or the one doing the investigation. That's what it is. And hopefully they'll come to their senses and realize that denying for this will cost them a legal action over its absurdity, and then they can be on the stand under oath explaining how the 5.7 with civilian ammunition is A, armor-piercing, and B, a basis to deny a carry permit. I'm looking forward to that, actually, if they actually want to go that far with this. So, folks, this is Evan Knappen reminding you that gun laws don't protect honest citizens from criminals. They protect criminals from honest citizens.
Gun Lawyer is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, New York, New York. Reach us by emailing Evan at gun.lawyer. The information and opinions in this broadcast do not constitute legal advice. Consult a licensed attorney in your state.